Hi and welcome to What's Next. I'm Therese, your host, and I'm super excited for today's show. I have a great guest. She is a young and passionate architect from Greece, and I can't wait to start the interview with Mado Samiou. So let's get started right away and have fun listening. Okay. Hi, Mado.
Hello.
I hope I pronounced it right. I'm super happy having you on the show. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you, Therese, for inviting me. It was I was very happy to receive the invitation, and I'm very glad that you're doing this podcast. I think it's a very interesting, I think it's something very interesting that you do.
Thank you.
I think that, you know, most young architects, we always crave for listening to other architects speaking and finding out about their philosophy and taking inspiration out of this. So I think it's a very interesting job task, let's say, that you have.
Thank you. And I'm really happy that you said yes to the interview. And before we start the actual interview, please introduce mm-hmm. yourself and your studio.
So, I am Mado Samiou, and our studio is Mado Samiou Architecture. It's not a very inspired name, but we like my name and surname. So, we use that for the logo. Currently, we started actually working on interior design projects, and currently we have also been able to move to more architectural designs, which is a very interesting way of following the architectural dream, because we started from the smaller scale of interior mm-hmm. and then we moved to the scale, to the bigger scale. And this is something that it's completely the opposite from what we learn at the architectural schools, because we start from the big scale and then we go to the small one. So this whole experience gave us a lot of new ideas on how we can proceed to an architectural design. Our office is found in Athens, in Greece. Mm-hmm. We work with international projects as well. We work with, we have many projects outside of the suburbs of Athens. We work a lot with islands and the rest of Greece. And we appreciate any kind of project that can allow us to be really creative. So this has to do a lot with the relation that we built with our client. We have... We try to be very close to the client. We try to be inspired by our client. And then we take on projects, both commercial and housing and hospitality as well.
I think your name of the studio sounds really sophisticated. Even though it's just your name, but it sounds really good.
Thank you.
In general, we start the interview with some warm-up questions about yourself, so the listeners get some ideas about you as a person. And the first question would be, architect, always been your dream job?
Okay, so this takes me back to many years ago. When I was a kid, I would always do drawings and sketches, and I was really into all this artistic stuff. I dreamed of becoming, I want to be a painter. Mm. And then when I was a teenager, I had some friends, and as a wild teenager, I did graffiti on the walls.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and at some point I was drawing on, I was doing a graffiti on a wall, and then some neighbors came and told me, wow, this is awesome, you really made my day. And I felt really good about this. Mm-hmm. I started doing that even more, with more passion, you know, and I thought I was making the brutal gray city a more beautiful place. But then after the years, I would say that other teenagers would go and do another graffiti on top of it. And then I realized that it's not only about making a wall beautiful, sorry. It's just about making the whole building beautiful. So it was a very romantic approach that I had concerning architecture. I really wanted to, I had a vision of making our city more beautiful and more functional. Mm-hmm. And this romantic approach is really close to, even at this point that I'm working on architecture, and I can see all these difficulties that our occupation might have.
Mm-hmm. Are you still painting? Yeah. Do you still paint in your free time?
Yeah, sometimes I do. Nowadays, with the quarantine, mm-hmm. I have time to paint. Sometimes I paint paintings for my clients as well. When we do the interior, I might propose a painting that I have, or I might offer them a gift, you know, a painting as a gift.
That's a really good idea. But yeah. I didn't see any of your paintings on your web, on your website. Maybe you should put some up.
Yeah, you know what, now the next step that we're thinking about doing is the following. In our interior projects, mm-hmm. we design most of our furniture, of the furniture that we use, we design them. Mm-hmm. And then even some accessories, we might design them or create them. So what we're thinking as a next step is that we have a special section in our site, mm-hmm. and that someone can buy our paintings or our accessories and furniture as well. But this is something that we need to organize it first, because now it's just an idea, you know?
Yeah, but that sounds really good. The next question would be, if you could learn or wish for a skill overnight, what would it be?
This is something that I really, really want it, and I just have to find some time to practice it sometime. I would like to be better at sketching, because I paint, and I'm very good with colors and vague shapes and stuff, but I'm not that good at sketching. You know, sketches, I have just the basic skills, mm-hmm. for telling my idea, but I would really like to be very good at this.
Okay. And the last one, what is your favorite hobby besides architecture?
Well, I love everything that has to do with nature. I'm not really that much into going out, you know, to clubs and bars and stuff. Every time I have some free time, I just go to nature. I do climbing, rock climbing. I started surfing. So, you know, I snowboard. So I just want to go to nature. And this is my source of energy and my inspiration as well. Mm-hmm. Because everything we see out in nature, we can just take it as an inspiration and put it into our architecture.
Yeah, totally understandable.
Yeah.
How would you describe traditional Greece architecture? Or how important is that for your design process? Because I looked through your work online, and you create really beautiful interior designs, like you already mentioned before, like the Parfum Boutique in Paris, called Aroma. And what is the most important part when you start the design process?
Well, for me, the initial concept, let's say, it derives from my intuition. It's not so much about having a basic concept idea and start working mm-hmm. on this. It's something that it's very intuitive inside me. Usually, the space, it's the most basic inspiration that I have. Either a plot, you know, where you need to place a building, or an existing space where you will do the interior. Mm-hmm. So this is the first inspiration I will get from the space. Then we have so many long discussions with our clients, and we also get inspired by them, by their style or what they want to do. Then we proceed to the solving all functionality issues, because it's also a very important part. This is the way that our main concept comes from. About the part of traditional architecture, I was born and raised in Athens, but my village is near Sparta, and my family and I used to travel a lot when I was a kid. So traditional Greek architecture, I think it's in my veins. It's all I can remember. My house in my village, which is in a very old house made of rock and with arches and all these traditional elements, and a general idea that I really wanted to share is that I can see that in Greece, for instance, we have traditional architecture. And then traditional Greek architecture has this, the main characteristic is that we have a front yard, and all people used to gather around this front yard or backyard. Mm-hmm. And then we have all this immediate relation with the environment and the sunlight. And then from traditional Greek architecture, we went straight to the apartment blocks. The big apartment yeah. blocks. Then yeah. we lost some of these elements that Greek people were used to, and we went to a really European contemporary way of living, which was really outside of our DNA. So for me, there are some steps in between that are, you know, that we missed. And my vision, and I really want to get to this point at some point, is that I want to make all these traditional elements, the essence of these elements, to make them back alive, to bring them back to life. Mm-hmm. So this is the essence of traditional Greek architecture is something that I also try to use in all of my projects.
And I think the look of your designs are super modern and have a really clean look. How do you infuse a certain amount of tradition? What choice of material would you do? And what emotions would you like to transfer with your design?
So when we try to use traditional elements of our Greek traditional Greek architecture, it's not only about materials or arches or small windows. It's also these design parts that we can use. For instance, terrazzo was a material that almost every house has it nowadays. In the 60s and the 70s, they used to make all floors terrazzo. Mm-hmm. This is something that people really hate, because the combination with the rest of the materials of the house, it was not very successful. So, for instance, you can use this kind of traditional materials like terrazzo rock, or wood or ceramic, or even the roof tiles. You can use all these kind of traditional materials. But for me, the most important part, and also, sorry, you can also use some traditional forms like and shapes, like geometries and arches, triangles, and all these traditional elements. But for me, the most important part is that Greek architecture comes from the people that inhabit it. So, you know, people used to have a need of space, and they would say, okay, I have this need of space, and they would build it. So it was very anthropocentric. You know, it was centered to the same person, architecture back in those days. So this is an essence that I really value. Other values as this one is the fact that people had an immediate relation with the outside part of the house.
Yeah.
They had the yards, as I said, or they had public places where all people would gather, squares. We have these squares and there is a big tree in the middle of the square.
Yeah.
So people used to gather there. So this way of socializing, for me, is another very important aspect of traditional Greek architecture. And then we have the way the Greek sunlight works with the building. So this was also a very important aspect, because people wanted to take shelter of the sun, of the Greek sun, during the summer, but during the winter they really needed the sun, because it was a way of heating the house, of preventing humidity. So the way that you find the relation with the sunlight and the Greek architecture, I think that it's very interesting way of studying these kind of relations.
Yeah. I feel like booking vacation right now.
I would, I can make you a list with places where you can go.
Yeah. Yeah, please.
Because this is the very interesting thing, is that all architecture comes from the environment.
Yeah.
Depending on whether you are on the mountain or on an island, it's going to be very different, the way that you're going to build your house. It has to do with the environment and the climate and all these aspects that we sometimes in contemporary architecture we kind of forget them, because now we have air conditioning and heating, so we don't pay that much attention. But for me, these are the things that we need to recover.
Yeah.
Reinvent.
In Germany, was a debate going on to prohibit family homes because of a lack of space and the increasing number of people. Is that in Greece a topic as well? Or?
Well, the thing, what happens now in Athens, due to the quarantine, it's not that popular, but there is we can see that there is a movement that has to do with people wanting to go back to the countryside.
Yeah,
we spent these months inside our houses, and most houses, are in apartment blocks, and they are small with no balconies. So most people kind of fed up with living in Athens, and they have a tendency of going back to the countryside. And we have many clients that came with this kind of need, of needing to build their house in the countryside. So I don't know how it's going to be in the next years, because, so far we had the tendency of building more apartment blocks, more and more and more. If we start going away from the center of Athens, maybe we won't have the need of this growth. In general, what happens here in Athens, and for me this is an issue that we need to look further into, is that we have so many buildings that are vacant. We have old factories mm-hmm. that stop work functioning, and there are so many that you might find apartment blocks that are vacant. And if we could take use of these existing shells, I think that we would solve many issues concerning habitation, you know.
Yeah.
This is what's happening. I could say that we have a huge growth of apartment blocks in the north suburbs of Athens, for instance, because this is the, you know, it's a very posh area. Mm-hmm. So most people want to go and live there. But still, the houses are big. We don't have, it's not very popular to have many small apartments in a huge block.
But that is a really interesting point to reuse a shell of a building that already exists and put a new use into it. That could
yes.
be a really great project. We have it in Germany
yes.
as well. Yeah.
Actually, this was the idea of my thesis.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge block in Athens. That it's like a small village actually, and it used to be a factory of threads, you know, that you use to make fabrics.
Mm-hmm.
So, like a small village, and now this triangular plot area is between three neighbors. So the thing is that these three neighbors are not connected with each other because you have this huge block. In between of a vacant X factory. So if we could reuse this shell, not only we would solve some habitation issues or other uses as well that we could put in there. Sorry. But also the neighbor would reunite, and we would have, you know, this empowerment of the whole neighbor, let's say,
mm-hmm.
and we'll all these buildings for the social benefit.
That's a really interesting point. That's true. How big is your studio, your office?
Now we're four people and. Mm-hmm. We currently work in the office, and we are growing fast. I also have exterior, let's say, exterior associates. I don't know if you call it exterior, but associates that are not working solely to the office,
mm-hmm.
but we collaborate with them per project.
Yeah, okay. And with what CAD program do you work right now? ARCHICAD or Revit, or what do you use?
We use AutoCAD,
mm-hmm.
and we in the office we work with Rhino, but we also work with Maya as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, we use a lot of Photoshop and Affinity. And actually, we work a lot with model making.
Yeah.
We're very traditional in this in the part of the work process, and we're not very acquainted with all this Revit, you know, ARCHICAD, all the stuff. I think that it's so hard to change your way of working when you have already got used to a certain method.
Yeah. Then the next question would be, how do you think the future design process looks like?
Yeah, well, this is a blind spot for me because, okay, I have read, you know, articles about where we're going, and I have friends that we used to, they're colleagues actually, that tell me about all the research they're doing with, you know, Oculi and all this this new technological stuff that I really have no idea about. but for me, it's, I don't know. I think for the way that my mind works, it's, it has to be model making. It has to be a sketch. Mm-hmm. It has to be going to the space and, you know, just taking inspiration out of the space. Actually, what I'm trying to teach my associates here in the office is that we should always start with a sketch and with floor plans, and then after we have concluded to a functional floor plan, then we should move to the 3D. So I really cherish this method of working, you know.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, everyone has its own method. So whatever works better for us, I really support that. But the only thing is that I have just, you know, this thought that we see the last years technology and science evolves so fast.
Yeah.
And we have so many new things that come, you know, to our lives. But I think that the human brain and the human psychology, I think that it evolves less fast, well, slower actually, than the way science evolves. So I think that there is also a small gap there. I mean, even with the 3Ds, you know, we see the 3D, but then when we go and build what we see in the 3D, we go inside the space and we have a totally different idea of, you know, what was in the 3D and what it feels actually in the actual 3D space.
Yeah, the feelings you would like to transfer, or a special scent maybe that you can smell, like in a church, that's probably not possible to transfer those feelings through virtual reality or Oculus Rift glasses or whatever. You maybe have to stand in the building and see for yourself what it feels like.
Yeah, I think that even with the Oculus glasses, I think that you miss some of the peripheral vision, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
You miss the smell, you miss the temperature, you miss the feel. You know, I always like to touch the materials and space. You know, I'm this kind of weird person that I enter. I enter a building and I'm always touching the walls, you know, the furniture. Yeah. I really miss that from augmented reality.
Do you think we have to redefine the term architect and what it means to be an architect? What the role of the architect in the future will be? Because maybe instead of actually building something, it's more important in the future to think about architecture. Do you think this is something that we have to prepare ourselves with?
Well, you know, I think that architects, we train to think a lot of aspects about life, about philosophy, about architecture, about construction. I think that a good architect is a person that can that has studied and has an opinion on different aspects of life. So even if it has to be a theoretical, to play just a theoretical part, or if he has to redesign an existing building, or if he has to build a new city on Ares, for instance, I think that an architect would always be useful to the society, depending on the need. The most important characteristic that we architects have to fight is our ego. And once we rid our ego, I think that then we can be very useful, you know, a very useful part of this machine that we call society.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that each architect has its own style and his own concept and his own purpose. Even if we, you know, in, I don't know, 200 years, everything is... I don't know, it's built from augmented realities, I don't know. Even if we have this kind of state in society, I think that there will always be a need for an architect that sketches and makes models, you know, and builds a small space that people go there and pray to God.
That's a really good answer. When we're done with the interview, I have to listen to it again. let's take a step into the future. How do you imagine the future living in, let's say, 100 years?
Well, hopefully, I would really like to see buildings that have a more eco-friendly approach, that we take advantage of the sun, the wind, you know, all the natural elements that one country or place might have. And I sincerely hope that we could have a more environmental friendly approach to all of our buildings.
Okay, so you hope that we go back to nature a little bit?
Yes.
Okay. So because a lot of people imagine the future like living in really small boxes, concrete boxes, and having their glasses on and like trying to see some virtual reality that's not real. But that's a good hope.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know, but I think that, you know, in society and in everything that we can see around us, each situation has two edges. For instance, we come from living in the villages next to nature, and then we went to the other edge, that it's a super augmented reality and nothing natural and stuff. But I think that these are the two edges. And I think that in the future, we're going to come to the middle of this.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is why I have this hope.
Okay, that's a good hope. I hope that too. regarding the current situation, do you think there will still be future building tests for large public gatherings like universities or museums or theaters? Or do you think they still exist? Or do we have to rethink our social form of living?
Well, I think that this is a combination, because it of course it has to do a lot with the mentality of people. You know, people have, actually here in Greece at least, we have the tendency of gathering all together in one space.
Mm-hmm.
Which I really don't understand, because I'm kind of a more lonely type of person. I just go to the mountains and want to be there with my dogs. But Most people, they just prefer to gather all together to one coffee shop or one bar. So I think that it has to do a lot with the mentality. And I also think that it has to do with taking advantage of the existing public spaces, as I said before. Because we do have big public spaces, but just because they're not used that frequently, they're under-designed or they're not taken care of. So I think that we should just need to focus now on redesigning the existing public spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think that, okay, we're not going to be under a COVID pandemic forever, but...
Hopefully.
In general, yes. But in general, I think that we could also start thinking about, you know, antibacterial materials or inventing new materials that they stop the proliferation of viruses. So I think that materials could be a really good idea on this aspect.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. And now we already reached our last question. What is architecture for you personally?
Okay. So I think you have already understood that architecture is my life.
Yeah.
you know, it's my passion, it's my drive, it's the way of being happy all day long. And I would generally say that for me, architecture is creation. And as all forms of creation, for me, it's a way of reconnecting with God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm a geek.
That's a really good answer. Okay. What are you up to next? Is there any project that's starting right now? Are you doing some design proposals or what are your next steps?
Yeah, so actually right now we have some very interesting projects. We have an interior project of a house apartment It's a very beautiful apartment, but a normal apartment. But the client that own this, my clients on this project are so amazing. So we have such a great communication, and it's going to be a very interesting result in the end. And then we have another housing project in Lagonisi that I really adore, because in this project you will be able to see how these traditional Greek elements come to life through a more contemporary form of architecture. And then we're in discussions of designing two new boutique hotels, which is also very interesting. And now we are also... we have started constructing a new brew house factory that's also going to be a brew pub in the same space. And this is found in an old building that used to be an old mechanical factory, let's say. And we have kept most of the elements of the building, of the existing shell, are kept, even the walls and the, you know, the dirtiness, and we just put some lacquer on it, and we keep all these elements. So this is going to be very interesting as well.
Wow, a lot of work, a lot of projects. Sounds interesting.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. I will look forward to your work. And thank you so much for being my guest today, even though it's a Sunday and it's Eastern. So thank you for taking the time. It was a pleasure.
Thank you very much for inviting me, and I had so much fun with our discussion, and I really hope that someone might hear this interview and get some inspiration or some ideas.
Yeah, me too.
So that was What's Next, Rethinking Architecture. I hope you enjoyed the episode as much as I did. For me, it was such an inspiring and interesting talk, hopefully for you too. And as always, please leave a comment, and till next time on What's Next. Ciao, ciao.